Today in Agronomy on KFIL AM 1060 with Pioneer Field Agronomist Allie Wise and Josh Schaffner. Here's Josh and Allie.
Good morning, Southeast Minnesota. Today is September 22nd, 2021. Josh, this is episode number 81. So really exciting time of the year. We're moving into harvest here quite rapidly, actually. This crop has come down the home stretch, a lot of corn black layered, a lot of guys working at some beans across the area, which has been great to see. But I think it kind of speaks to, I mean, it's obviously weather dependent how the rest of this harvest season goes, but I think it could push us at a pretty rapid pace this year.
Yeah, I think the consensus as we've made the round has been, I'm not ready, and this crop is really snuck up on us all. And I think that's kind of been the, a little bit of anxiety out there, but on the flip side of it, it's a great thing for us, you know, being where we're at to have, you know, the soybeans and the corn at the stage they're at, at this calendar date of September 22nd is pretty phenomenal. Probably as advanced as we've seen the corn crop, you know, and probably, you know, maybe since 2012, so almost a decade. But with that said, I mean, just some really great opportunities to get a jump start here. And obviously, when you get to black layer with 10 days of September, you know, it can really take some moisture off, a little bit of a cool down midweek here, but the forecast still looks extremely favorable and looks like a lot of sunshine and a lot of upper 60s, low 70s. So it's going to be a really good start to harvest here. And hopefully things go smooth and the weather in October stays good and it'll go good. But, I think one thing, Ellie, we'll maybe talk a little bit about some early bean harvest here. And, it seems like some good bean yields out there on the early beans, seeing a little bit of SCS challenges, but it seems like one of the biggest talking points of the East has been, standability is a little bit of a struggle. However, the common theme is where they're flat, it's a lot more yield than when they're standing. And that's just kind of the frustrations of beans.
Yeah, it's bittersweet. I was joking, quite seriously, I guess it is kind of the high yield lean in a sense where they're down more, they're holding a lot of yield potential. So yeah, it doesn't make for a fun harvest, but when the yield's there, helps the situation a little bit more. And you just look at plant health wise or plant height wise, especially in your area, as you get east of 52, obviously, you push that crop a little bit differently than we do to the west, but we just had so much heat throughout the vegetative growth stages. We pushed the reproductive stages really significantly. And I think that's where a lot of that height has come from. As we've come down the line harvest wise, I think folks are having a few challenges on the soybean side of things. Do we want to dig into that now, Josh, or we want to talk?
I think it would be, I've had, that question of, like the yield, what can we do to improve standability? And I don't know if I have the silver bullet answer to that. Obviously it's something, I'm going to keep an eye on this fall, as are there some trends that maybe helped it. And I think one of the challenges we're having is, when you look at these yields, and we don't put tremendously high population out there in most situations anymore, but I think when you take a plant putting that much yield on, and some of it's just a pure weight, right? There's just that many pods and that many beans hanging on there. But you also look at the stresses of a plant to, from just trying to push that much energy into that big a yield. I think there's a combination there. There's some things we see, that bring plant height down from reduced tillage and in some herbicide programs. But we'll have to take a hard look at it and hopefully, keep bringing new varieties that can manage that better. But, obviously something we got our eyes and ears on. Allie and I are doing a lot of product evaluations on kind of our, life cycle role this week. And, we'll be looking at all that stuff and seeing if there's some new things that we can, pair that yield with better standability and agronomics. But either way, just exciting to see these kind of bean yields and kind of excited to get into the mid group and late group ones to see if, some of these high yield trends continue.
Yeah. And stick around for segment two. We're going to talk a little bit more about kind of harvest considerations between both corn and beans, considering how fast we're pushing things along. But did want to shift, Josh, in terms of common questions from the field. Been talking quite a bit about tar spot as of lately. Several questions just about what the spectrum of tar spot looks like in corn from different areas. Do we expect it to be yield limiting? Is it scattered enough that it's come into play just late enough that we don't expect it to cause concern? I'll start with just my observations as we get, say, west of 63 or west of 60 or west of 52. I definitely have very scattered symptomology. Don't expect it to be yield limiting, but certainly you can find it in most fields if you're looking for it. And like you mentioned, it's just, we're not always looking for it just because it's not that common thing we have on top of our brain all the time. But I know it looks, a little more severe as you get east of 52 into your area.
Yeah, I'm going to say compared to last year, and you know, last year we found some. I found maybe just a couple of fields that had quite a bit that caught your attention. This year, a lot easier to find, much more widespread. And this year, we are going to have some isolated situations, and that we're going to see some yield reduction from tar spot, maybe 15 to 25 bushel is probably the most severe I've seen so far. With that said, you know, I haven't been by anywhere near every field, so I think there's a lot more out there than we realize. I agree with you, Allie. I think you can find in every field if you're looking for it. And in some situations, it's pretty pronounced. But, you know, if you saw some fields that shut down early, I'm not saying it's tar spot in every case, but definitely you see something that changed a little bit faster than normal. I definitely take out there and take a look to try to get a grasp of what's going on. Some cases, tar spot, Allie, on the other side, we're seeing some stalk rot set in, and that's causing, you know, some isolated ghost plants, but also seeing some whole fields shut down kind of rapidly from that as well.
Yeah. And we'll talk, maybe dig into why those ghosted plants could be there and just a few factors around tar spot we want to make sure folks are considering when it comes to protecting yourself against that, should it continue to come into play in years to come, which we would expect it to. So stick around for segment two. We'll talk more agronomy of what we're seeing from the field.
Welcome back, listeners. Allie, in segment one, we were kind of just getting into a good conversation about tar spot there. And I think one other thing that's came up here is, you know, where we're seeing more tar spot, you know, what's causing it is fungicide the cure all, you know, what do we got to do to manage this disease? You know, obviously I think in some cases where we've seen it set in pretty strong, it's definitely caught our attention that, okay, if this ever comes a little bit earlier in the season, like August 15th, August 20th, this is going to be, you know, something to reckon with that we're going to have to take action or potentially, but what are some of our, if we look at strategy, you know, looking ahead, Allie, what's going to be our, you know, our big management practices to manage this disease?
So I like to start with hybrid tolerance to tar spot. So it's important to remember that tar spot is not, we do not have any hybrids that are resistant to tar spot, but we do understand which of our hybrids have the best tolerance against tar spot. And really that becomes the name of the game. Once tar spot sets into that field, you need to have a hybrid that can keep itself alive longer, essentially, to protect itself against tar spot. So staggering amongst hybrids becomes a really big deal. You mentioned fungicide. I know our brains always seem to go to fungicide when we're talking about some of these diseases. Certainly fungicide, there's a lot of fungicides now that are labeled for suppression of tar spot. But because this disease ramps up so quickly, how tar spot helps us is that timing of application becomes key. So in a lot of cases in a year, we're still going to go out, make our typical planned VT application if that's the management plan for that field. And then as we see onset of tar spot in that field, it won't be out of the realm to be looking at making an additional fungicide application to extend the plant life of that corn crop. And so, you know, it's different than other diseases. Sometimes we think about rotation of crops maybe helping our cause, but the sporulation of tar spot is just so significant that really that doesn't do much to help us protect ourselves against tar spot. So those are the things that I'm thinking about. Any other key things that your mind goes to when you think about protection against tar spot, Josh?
Yeah. A lot of reiteration, you know, variety selection being, you know, the number one thing. And Allie, I think with the pressure this year, we're going to be able to maybe, you know, we don't score for tar spot yet across, you know, the industry. I do think this year, Allie, we'll be able to really probably categorize our commercial lineup really well of what's, you know, hey, what's number, you know, what's the in the premium bucket the best, what's the middle, you know, and kind of categorize it that way. You know, one of the things that comes up, I've had some saying where fungicide is good, should we start moving our fungicide later? And in some cases, if you're doing some pre-tassel fungicide, I don't think that'd be a bad thing, but taking where we're targeting R1, R2 for that really big yield bump and agronomic improvement, moving that back to R3 beyond, I think that's a little bit of a, I'm not saying it wouldn't help, but it's really hard to sacrifice all that yield gain on the front side to try to protect something that we don't know is going to for sure be there in the backside. But, you know, I think understanding, I'd stay the course, but also have an understanding that if this ever sets in bad, we're probably going to be looking at a quick turnaround second application. But those are some things to consider, but you just cannot overlook variety selection. If you don't got a variety that's at least giving you some decent defense, it's going to be a very narrow window to save yourself on the backside.
Yeah. So certainly let us know if you have any questions, and if it catches your eyes, you're rolling through the combine, don't hesitate to give us a call so we can talk through what that looks like in terms of management for years to come. But, you know, a few thoughts about maybe soybean harvest here. We talked about the fact that harvest has started on soybeans. We've got a bulk of the early maturity soybeans out. I think yields have been They definitely range depending on where we have more moisture in areas over others, but strong results so far, in my opinion. Have even had some guys working on some 1.8 as of these past couple of days, obviously brought a little bit of moisture back into the profile. So folks might be working on some early corn instead of beans right now. But I think, you know, knowing that we brought a little moisture back into these fields, a hot topic before we got this rain, the soybean fields, you had a lot of green plants in some fields, Josh, and you had some really dry, really dry. So you were averaging out still at a point of really pretty dry moisture on the soybean side of things. So it just raised those questions of, do we keep rolling on beans? Do we need to wait to get some rain back into them? What does management look like as we understand those are drying down on us pretty significantly?
Yeah, if we're in our target moisture, we got to keep going. And I think the rain on Monday there is going to help us balance out as we get back into beans here. Hopefully we balance some of that out. A lot of times that first rain will actually balance out that moisture range a little bit. And hopefully that holds true. But I think the big thing here, as we get into the weekend here, a lot of the maturities up to probably late group one are going to get ready. And just a matter of, anytime we can, the beans get ripe, we want to get them right away. If you go through more moisture wet cycles, after they've been ready the first time, we just lose yield. So just being after it. And then the other thing, LA, is I think about, just this harvest season in general is we got a major soybean corn overlap going on right now that, some of the 94, 5, 6 day corn is really coming down in moisture in some cases into the low 20s. We're having some guys taking stuff out at 22%. The beans are ready at the same time. And I guess if I have any advice, we just got to be efficient and stay after it. Don't worry that the calendar is September. Look at the crop stage and really push like it's mid-October. But on the flip side, if we do get a quarter inch rain and beans can't go for a day, I think we're really going to have to switch over and take advantage of that day and go get some dry corn and get that out. Otherwise, my fear is that, I always say, don't look at the calendar and think about corn and stock quality. Look at the GDUs. We have mid to late October GDUs. And when you think about that, we probably got mid to late October stocks on the corn here in late September as well, where we got to think about that. But I think my biggest advice for Harvest Alley is we just got to take advantage of every day. And it sucks switching out, but I think in some cases it's going to be the thing to do.
Yep. Be prepared, ready to go, and be sure to reach out to us so we can help you understand maybe where we prioritize over others. We'll be back next week with more commentary from the field as harvest progresses across Southeast Minnesota.
You've been listening to Today in Agronomy on KFIL AM 1060. If you've missed part of the show or want to hear more, check out the show page at KFILradio.com or with the 103.1 KFIL app. Stay connected with Ali and Josh on Twitter. It's at Ali G Wise, WISE, and at Josh Schaffner. Submit your questions for the show. Tune in next Wednesday for the next Today in Agronomy on KFIL AM 1060.